Thanks for taking time off the road to be with us today.
Yeah, of course. I'm happy to talk with you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're quite welcome. For this Sunday performance, is it just going to be you?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a stripped-down set. That's right, because, you know, normally the full band is there, but we wanted to switch it up a little bit this year because this is going to be our second time in Milwaukee and at the Pride Fest. And so this time we're going to do it a little different. And what I'm really excited about is actually sitting down on the piano and playing some songs, some new stuff that I'm working on that are not even, a lot of this stuff is not even produced. So half of the show is going to be a lot of the songs everyone's used to hearing. You know, hopefully the people who came out last year will come back and see us again. And then we have, you know, some surprise songs to play that will hopefully give me a chance to show everyone what's new and what I'm working on right now. Because I think part of the problem sometimes with producing music is that it takes time. You know, so it's almost like you get caught in this sort of, you know, you want to show new stuff, but you also have stuff in progress. And so in a way, I'm hoping to show a little of what we've done and a little of what is to come.
That's awesome. And since we've already kind of gotten rolling here, I am curious, when is the next EP coming out? Because you already released Red, and you're doing your current album in three pieces. First of all, I'm curious why you decided to do that, and when can we expect the next produced EP?
Okay. Well, the reason why I decided to break it into three parts is because I found, as I've written and recorded and produced, that there are variations of the sound. And in a way, it's kind of course, it's all one voice. It's all under one umbrella. But at the same time, there's a little variation there. So I thought that it would be cool to make it distinct and have it be in three pieces because the songs kind of fall into three categories. The first one is dance. The second is more rock related, kind of funk rock. And then the third piece is more ballad and a bit slow tempo, a down tempo. So that's why I chose to break it into those three pieces. So you can look at it like that on a, you could also sort of look at it on a deeper level too and think of it in terms of three different sides of a pyramid, three different waveforms. You know what I mean? It's like, and when those things come together, they form a cohesive whole. And also it relates to the way that we first started releasing music digitally through Chordless and Warner Brothers. And their concept was to release smaller, they called them clusters. And so in a way, it kind of harkens back to that, but it also fits in with the way that this music has, you know, been written.
Mm. I'm really interested in how you came into music and especially electronic music. I saw your recent video that was posted on your website, kind of going through your background. And it was interesting. You said that, so you originally grew up outside of Portland, Maine, right?
Yep.
Which is a pretty, as you said, a pretty conservative spot. And and in that area.
And I'm here now, actually. I'm here in Portland.
Oh, yeah?
Right at this moment. Yeah, it was my dad's birthday. So I came back to say hi and celebrate with him. And then I'm back to New York tomorrow to finish rehearsal and then come to Milwaukee on Saturday morning.
Wow, that's a bit, yeah, that's a bit of a road trip. So I hope you hope you have enough life in your cell phone to get you through. Beyond that, you said that, you know, because it was kind of a conservative area, it was a bit strange for a young man to want to play piano. That wasn't kind of the cool thing to do. And that you taught yourself how to sing, or that you learned to sing by recording yourself with a tape recorder, but that hearing yourself back was almost enough to make you want to stop. So how did you overcome that criticism, both from yourself and from the outside world?
Well, it took me a while because, like I said, I mean, when I first recorded my voice, I was 5 years old. I used to be obsessed with theme songs for television shows and stuff like that. And I used to go into my room and, you know, record my voice. And just, you know, I didn't like the way it sounded. I thought it was way too high-pitched and not key and all this other stuff. And then in high school, I started playing the guitar a little bit. And that's when I started to find my voice. And I found that there was something about the way that the strings and, you know, something about the organic nature of that, it kind of elicited a reaction from my body. You know, it was almost like, you know, you could even relate it to something spiritual. It's just like it sort of came from within. And in a way, it's kind of like, I guess it comes down to just sort of knowing yourself a little bit more. And I think that when you're in high school, you start to sort of really come to terms, or you begin on that journey of coming to know yourself. And so for me, music really helps me with that beginning of that journey at that time. I can't really explain it beyond that. I just think that your voice is something, I mean, your voice is one of the most powerful things that you have as an individual. And I think that music can help that. So if someone out there is listening and, you know, they enjoy listening to music, even if they think they're not a singer, it's like, sing a damn song. You know what I mean? So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of your voice. Don't be afraid of expression, because that expression can set you on a road that is unlike any other road that you know, could go down. And that road ultimately leads to self-discovery.
Mm. And what is it like now for you? Are you completely comfortable in your skin now? If you see a video of yourself or hear a track of yourself, how do you feel now?
I think it's helped. It's helped. I kind of joke sometimes and I say looking at videos of past performances and stuff like that have almost been like reviewing like a play of a game. You know, it's almost like you watch your drills and then you review it at home or whatever, and then you try to do it better next time. That's kind of, I mean, you know, it's been a gradual process of acceptance and moving forward. And I just think I always try to just keep positive and keep optimistic and, you know, try to just push things forward, make things better. And ultimately, each performance should be about saying something new. Saying, you know, whether it's saying something new to yourself, sometimes that's what it even is, you know, but mostly it's about sharing a message with everyone else. You know, that's at the core of music. And I think my initial inspirations rooted from a lot of amazing electronic artists in the 80s. But lately, I've actually been looking to Talking Heads and Peter Gabriel. And also, I've even been going back and looking at, like, folk artists like Joan Baez and stuff like that, people who really like embody the, and you know, even Maya Angelou and Odette, and people who were progressively reverberating or coming from a place of wanting to have a message of freedom and coming from a place of revolution and coming from a place where, you know, we're talking about real messages here. You know what I mean? We're not talking about making a splash in the music industry for yourself. You know what I mean? It's like, what can, you know, as I develop and as I mature as an artist, it's like, these are the questions I'm asking myself. And I continually find myself saying, like, how can I cut to the root? And how can I share that root message with the rest of the world? And I think that that's what music has the ability to do, is to allow you to step into that and to share that message, share that core truth with a capital T.
Mm, I think that's fascinating, because your music is, it's so, I mean, it's obviously, it's dance music. It's just, it's epic. I love it. It's, you know, it's definitely meant for a good time. You know, it's not just about creating a pop hit for you. You really are, it seems, on a kind of spiritual quest. Like you say, you're looking at the deeper truths in life, and that's what you're exploring. How do you contrast kind of the, or work together rather, your spiritual quest with being a popular musician right now? Do you know what I'm asking? It seems like an interesting thing.
I know what you're saying. They seem contradictory almost, right? I think that that's a struggle, you know, but I think that that's kind of, but at the same time, it's almost like this is just, it almost is like, this is the way it is. It's like, I'm on this journey. You know, if we take it back one step, we think about creative expression in general and what everyone's trying to do, whether you're a fashion designer or a musician or, you know, whatever it is that you're creating and you're expressing. Ultimately, it all roots back to this core truth of expression, you know, and it's like, I think that people get distracted a bit and they tend to just look at the surface. They look at just the clothes alone. They don't look at the designer and that journey, you know, or they look at just the produced song. They don't look at the blood, sweat, and tears, and, you know, that's such a trite expression. They don't look at what goes into the making of that, you know. And I think that as more of my songs that have been produced continue to roll out, then you'll be more and more on that journey with me. And that's another reason why I want to be so specific about how I roll these things out and so conscientious, because for me, it is about being conscious. It's about being present. It's about doing this right. It's like, yeah, things take time. But I think that good things, you know, they always say good things take time. I'm in this for the long haul. This is the decision that I've made, is to go on this journey as someone who has indebted himself to express his voice and discover himself. This is the beginning, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, like you say, mainstream pop. Like, how can you make this stuff, is it possible to make something mainstream and also true and also meaningful? It's like, that is a great question here. And I think people in time have done that. People in time have had true messages in their music that transcends popular production. But like I said, you can look at the production, you can look at it on one level, or you can look at it on both levels. And what I always try to do is have the music have one, you know, it has a surface and it also has the depth. And so you can find that depth if you're looking for it. And I think that's the thing. That's part of my mantra as a songwriter, is how can I join these two things together? How can I make it something that you want to hum along to and have fun and groove to? And also, if you want to take a moment, sit down with the lyrics, then it will teach you something else, you know? Or maybe, hopefully, that's the goal. Will it show you something about yourself? Because that's part of where I'm coming from. I'm trying to discover myself, and I'm hoping that by discovering myself, that you'll discover part of yourself, too.
That seems like a wonderful goal. I think that ties in with the fact that you don't consider Dangerous Muse to be a band per se, but more a project, something that's not exactly finished yet. So does that help you, you know, by helping to control more of the image or more how you want to come across to your fans and help them understanding this isn't just a typical band. We're trying to do something different here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a process. I think in a way, by choosing to use the term project, kind of my way of saying, hey, let's look at this thing a bit differently. It's as simple as just doing a little bit of a word switch. It's my suggestion to sort of make people turn their head a bit and say, wait, what's he talking about? You know, and hopefully that will lead to, you know, looking a bit deeper. Because, you know, like I said, it could be kind of easy to look at what's going on a surface level and think, oh, that's all that it is. But it's actually not. And I think so many people, and I don't want to speak for other people, but I think it's very easy to get immediate success and then say, yeah, that was all me, you know? But for me, it's like, no, this is a collective. People coming together, creative people in New York. And also, people are starting to knock New York and saying, you know, it's not where the artists are anymore. And I'm trying to say, actually, it is. You know, so that's part of what this, you know, the documentary I did with, or the artist profile we did for Brooklyn Backstories, was about resisting what Patti Smith said about, hey, all the artists shouldn't come to New York anymore. I want them to come to New York, you know? I want more artists, you know, as friends, collaborators. That's what it's all about.
So to get back to the project of Dangerous Muse, so could you tell me who else is currently in that project with you right now?
Oh, okay. It's everyone that you saw as a part of the film, they're all good friends of mine, and we all collaborate. I think that I don't want to, like, name names, because I think that that would reduce the idea. It pivots on me, you know, in a way. The spectrum, fair time, and I also don't want to, there's lots of things in the works right now, and I feel like if I start spouting out names, then I feel like it's a bit premature on one level, and it's also kind of, I don't want to leave anyone out. So I think that it's better to just say that it's yours truly.
Yours truly, yeah. Mike Fury. Well, that's fair. Coming up this Sunday, you're playing at Pride Fest. First of all, what was the experience like for you last year?
Well, I had an amazing time. I have to give a shout out. I will name names here. I'll say Mark Gerber did an amazing job making us feel so at home. So on that level, just we were welcomed in such a nice way that I want to come back, you know? And I said to him, like, yeah, of course, I'll come back. Also, I was really kind of in love with everyone who came out to the show. I didn't even go in with any expectations, really. I just said, I'm going to have a great show and have a good time. And hopefully, you know, there'll be some great people out there. But it was such a spectrum of ages, from teens to, you know, older, elderly even, you know? And even, you know, there was this sweet little 9-year-old girl who came to the meet and greet afterwards, you know, because we did like pictures and stuff like that. And it was just so amazing to see families. I think people who may be outside of Pride Fest activities may not be aware of the fact that it is actually, when you say diversity, it's like actually truly diversity. It's not people who are gay and lesbian who are at festivals. It's actually the straight people who are their friends, and it's the families that are supporting them. And it's, you know, it's like it's a celebration of love and togetherness. That's what Pride is about. It's not about gay and lesbian only. You know, it's about everyone being together. A place like Milwaukee, it's like everyone's together having a blast. And it's like, doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what you dress like, everyone is having a good time. And I just was so elated. And it was our first time in Milwaukee. So it was like really cool to be surrounded by such love like that.
So are you looking forward to coming back again this weekend then?
You have to ask that, right? I think, yeah, it goes without saying at this point. You know, I'm looking forward to meeting more people and making more friendships, because you may be gleaning from me. It's not just about me. It's about my connections and my friendships. And I don't even like the term fan. Everyone's a friend. We are all in this together, and let's take those boundaries down. Let's take those walls down. I wish I could have everybody up on stage with me. that's where I'm coming from, you know. Mm-hmm. You know what? Maybe I will. Yeah, well, I'll have to talk to Mark about that. But yeah.
I hope I can hold enough people. Yeah, it's great that you said that, because I was just going to ask for people who do come to the show, if there's any little hint that you could throw at them, something new that they might expect.
You know, I'm not going to blow my own horn over here, but the thing is, like, I'm going to play the songs that people may know. You know, that's what mm-hmm. it's all about. I want to give them what they're used to hearing, or what they want to hear come out of my mouth when they see me live. You know, it's like, so we'll do a few of the songs that you know, and then we're going to do a few songs that that you won't know. And I hope that everyone comes along for the ride. And, you know, because we're going to do, the set's going to be in two parts. You know, the first part is going to be the electronics. Second part is going to be some real from the heart music on the piano. And some of the songs that I'm going to play are going to be played for the first time. But I think that's what it's all about, live performance, right? It's like, you got to, why not? You're going to come out and see me perform. I'm going to give you something that you're not going to see anywhere else and you won't be able to see online. You know, that's what it should be. Every mm-hmm. show should be like that. I think that's what my mantra as an artist is, always doing something that is going to make you appreciate the moment that you're in and appreciate the fact that you are here now and you're seeing this and you're a part of this, which is unique.
We're certainly excited to have you come, and we can't wait. I know there's going to be a lot of friends who are going to be happy to see you on the billing if they haven't looked it up already. Are there any acts that you're going to try to see while you're here?
Yes, I'm definitely going to come out and see Macy on Saturday night, Macy Gray. Mm-hmm. I'm coming in on Saturday to see her, you know, see her and everyone else on the bill Saturday, but particularly Macy Gray, because she's definitely influenced me on some level. And then I'm really looking forward to Sandra Bernhardt and Lisa Lampanelli. I met Sandra a couple times, and she's great. And then Lisa Lampanelli is such a hoot. She totally, I love her. She's amazing. So funny.
Well, I think we're running out of time, but was there anything that you wanted to talk about?
Well, okay. I would like to say that we do have a music video that's coming out. And so that's going to be coming out this summer with a special EP of a couple mixes of Fame Kills, which is the name of the song that the music video is for. And the music video was shot by Eric McClett, who is an amazing director based in New York, and is featuring performances by Bailey and Penny Wren. Bailey was in the documentary piece for Brooklyn Backstories, so you could see him there. Yeah, it'd be great to have listeners go to danishmuse.com to just check out what else we're up to have a chance to check out that video, which is posted there, and see what else is going on. Because like I said, every show is different. So if you take a look at some of those live videos, you'll see the different variations of the show and what else we've done, where else we've played, and what else is going on.
So, well, once again, Mike Fury of Dangerous Muse, thank you so much for being with us here on WUWM at Night.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And break a leg on Sunday.
Okay. Thanks.